Welcome to the Mary Valone Show. I'm your host, Mary Valone, and you're listening to episode 18. And our episode today is on how women are driving donations. And I thought it was very fitting today. I'm recording this on Sunday, May the 14th, and it is Mother's Day. And so I thought, what a better fitting way to honor our mothers than to talk about women. But before we jump into the content, I just wanted to share a few announcements. So we are just 12 days away. Okay, 12 days away from the close of the application process for my Fundraising Freedom Coaching course. So if you are listening right now and want to take your fundraising to the next level, jump on maryvalone.com/coaching and fill out that application right now. So this is an elite group of people that are specifically working on reaching their fundraising goals. So if you're raising support for you personally or for your budget, and you're just not seeing the needle move, it's probably time to get some coaching, get some help on making this happen. And I'll be honest with you, when I first launched my coaching program a couple of years ago, I thought, gosh, I hope I can just help a couple people. And in the process, we have made such a huge impact working together. And I'm hearing stories about people moving from hundreds of dollars to thousands of dollars a month. And a couple weeks ago, one of my coaching clients shared that she went from one full year ago in March to $11,000 this last March. So a $10,000 a month increase, which is crazy, which just means that they're taking action. And no matter how hard maybe that personal trainer pushes you, you still have to get in the game and you got to do what needs to be done in order to make that difference. So I want to encourage you to be a part of this. And we're building out this program together because I want to serve you. I want to be able to share the content that is most relevant for you in the season that you're in. So this coaching program not only has a 7-week video training that comes with it with tips and templates, but it also includes coaching once a week. And this means that we dive into your specific scenario and you can start to ask those questions about, okay, I've got this donor. Here's the scenario. I feel like I haven't had any movement. What can I do to move that donation or move that relationship forward? And we talk specifically about that. And so this is a program for you, but it is about you. So I want you to be able to be a part of that. And don't wait. Go jump on maryvalone.com/coaching and fill out your application. I do want to say that not everybody will be accepted into the program because I want to make sure that you can actually reach the goal that's on your application. And in order to do that, I want to make sure that you are showing a commitment to seeing that happen. So I want you to succeed, but I also want this program to succeed for not only you, but for the others that are in the group. So I value each and every one of you and want to make sure this experience is just exceptional. So on that note, let's talk about moms. Let's talk about women. You know, it is so great to be able to celebrate this day, you know, to celebrate our moms. I mean, obviously none of us would be here without our moms, but did you know that 64% of all donations come from women? That 64% of all the donations that are happening are coming from women. I thought that was an incredible statistic. Not surprised by it, but this holiday that we're celebrating in the U.S. and it's celebrated across 40 different countries actually is in its 109th year. 109 years we're celebrating this holiday, and it actually started by a woman by the name of Anna Jarvis. And believe it or not, after just a few years of the holiday being, you know, what it was, she started boycotting and picketing companies who tried to profit off of this holiday because her intent was just to celebrate her mother, to memorialize her mother, but also just to show gratitude and love for the moms and the women out there. And so she was hoping that people would just, you know, write handwritten cards and letters to their moms. And instead, you know, the florists and the chocolates and just like Valentine's Day, I guess it was taken advantage of and people started marketing it. And isn't that, I mean, it's just interesting when you think about how we just want to raise money because we want to do the work that we're called to do. We're not looking to commercialize what we're doing. We're not looking to take advantage of people. And that is the same thing of what this holiday was originally meant to be. And I think that that's probably a lot of things that we celebrate, is that it started off with really great intentions. And then somehow along the line, we as humans, you know, screwed it up, which are we surprised by that? but I want to kind of connect back to that, you know, we can do the work that we do and be very honest and moral and have that integrity that we got into this work in the beginning, you know, that we don't have to manipulate people, that we can really engage people into our organizations, into the call that we're working towards, in a very honest and genuine way without having to buy chocolates and commercialize the whole thing. So, coming to the point of where, you know, we work with women, and here's the thing. I love, love, love the women that I have gotten the opportunity to work with. And it is because of their generosity. And statistics show, actually a research shows, that that women are more likely to volunteer than men because they genuinely feel a happiness. Their motivation is uniquely different, is that they would prefer to, they find success in generosity versus wealth. And helping people brings them greater happiness than spending it on themselves. So I'm sure there's many, many men out there who feel the same way. But it was interesting that this stood out in a research study that focused specifically on why women were volunteering more and why women were giving more. And so when it comes to smaller donations, women absolutely are making those decisions more often than men. And when it is a larger donation, that donation is being made jointly between that husband and wife. But what we find out is that when, you know, that women are serving more, they're volunteering more than men. But even more than that, married couples are volunteering more often than singles. And so when people are collectively working together in a unit, they're giving more money because they're probably making more money, but also they're making larger gifts and more frequently. So this is just something interesting to be thinking about as you're recruiting your volunteers and as you're bringing people into your organization. You know, on last week's episode, I talked about recruiting that committee chair and how you absolutely need a committee chair. Well, as I was recruiting my first committee chair and the one that, you know, helped raise $500,000 net that first year, that was a woman. You know, I was looking at who in my community would really grab hold of the event that I was looking to create. And it just so happened that I had a connection with a young lady who was really, you know, outspoken. She was somebody who was really willing to step out there and share the message of what we were doing, because she was very visionary in seeing to it that we fulfilled our mission, but also created something really exciting. So when I'm looking to recruit volunteers and looking for people to be a part of my organization, I do tend to look to women a little bit more often than men, only because our culture still sees men serving in leadership in corporations. Now we're seeing a total swap in this. Things are changing drastically. So I don't want to stereotype this at all, because we are seeing a lot of women moving into leadership positions. But you'll notice that when women do step away and they start having children and taking care of their children at home, they don't always get to utilize the skills and the gifts that they have that they might have used in the workplace. So when you can align that gifting that they have outside of being a mother, they get to utilize that in a way where they can volunteer their time and still get that fulfillment that they would have gotten had they been working in the marketplace. And so this is just something to consider as you're recruiting volunteers. When I started looking at key leadership, I look oftentimes to a unit. So I am looking for that husband and wife where maybe the wife doesn't work full time and the husband does, and he can, you know, he has a lot of contacts and connections in the workplace, and she has access to those, you know, so regardless of whether or not she's actually working in that corporation or that organization, she still has a lot of influence. The leadership is looking to her, for her knowledge, for her contacts, for her, you know, the gifts that she's bringing, not only to the organization, but to her spouse. And so, there's a lot of women out there who are serving in a capacity that I don't think that we always understand. When there is a strong male leader, there's often a strong female leader that is supporting him, and vice versa. When you see a very strong woman leader, there tends to be a strong male that's backing her. So in my home, I tend to be the person who is more that the breadwinner, I guess, of our family. But if anybody knows my household, you'll know how strong my husband is to my success. I mean, he's the one that pushed me to write my book. He's the one that is doing all my graphic design and my print materials and making sure that I'm successful because he's, you know, like we're a team, we're a unit. And so when somebody comes to me and asks me to be a part of an organization, I mean, he's obviously a part of that conversation as well. But I do find myself being more of the decision maker when it comes to finances in our home and where we're giving charitably, you know, where are our charitable donations going to? And so if you are only looking to the male in the family because you think, well, they're the head of the household, so therefore the man is making the decision, I just want you to just think a little bit differently, because times have changed, you know, and things are different. So when women are are the ones that are raising or making more money in the home, or have more disposable time on their hands, they are the ones that are going to be stepping up and serving in your organization and organizations in their community. So be thinking about that as you're building out your committee. And think through, when you're looking at organizations in your community that have a strong female presence, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind are the breast care, you know, breast cancer walks, you know, Susan G. Komen or the American Cancer Society, you know, walk. There's so much that, I mean, if you've ever been around women like that, I mean, they are a force to be reckoned with. I mean, those women rally together, and the support system that they provide to each other is a bond that is not easily broken. And we thought, you know, when I had my time to work on that event, Making Strides Against Breast Cancer, I thought, I mean, I just really had never seen a volunteer team work as strong collectively together and empowered to want to lift each other up. It was more of a support system than I ever would have understood. But that's the same with any organization where you feel unified to make a difference in that particular thing that you're doing. So when people start to rally together to either, most of the time it's either you have a common enemy. You know, that is what most organizations rally around, is that you have a common enemy. Who is your enemy? And then you bring people around who all believe that this enemy needs to be stopped. And when I talk about breast cancer, obviously the enemy is breast cancer. But when you think about other organizations, sometimes it's other organizations in your community that are the enemy. Maybe it's the government. Maybe it's, you know, if it's a religious front and we're talking about the enemy of the Bible, you know, like there are a lot of things that are rising up the world. You know, maybe politicians are fighting against the very thing that you're working towards, you know, climate change or, you know, rights for people. You know, there's all kinds of different things where you start to feel like the enemy has attacked your organization. And so therefore your group is all rallying together to fight this very thing. So it's not necessarily that you need all women, but just know that some of the strongest organizations are backed by very strong women. And I think that that's just really incredible and something to be seen. So As you're looking towards volunteers and who can be a part of your organization and can really help you raise funds, give funds, make a difference, I want to focus a little bit here on the older demographic. You know, we often forget that most people work their entire life to make money just so that they can give it away. So think about that. When you're working so hard and you're saving money, a majority of our charitable people, our generous people are looking at how can I save more money so that I can give more of it away? How can I invest it properly so I can be a good steward and I can give it away? I was listening to an interview with Warren Buffett. And he was talking about how when he was younger and when somebody asked him to make a donation to an organization, he was very generous, but he felt like if he gave less when he was younger, he could actually give away not thousands of dollars or even millions of dollars, but someday he could give away billions of dollars. And if you know anything about Warren Buffett right now, is that he is giving away billions of dollars with a B. And, you know, individuals that are working in these corporations and bigger organizations, when somebody has the gifting of making money, they are looking at strategically, how can I make the greatest impact? And so they may hold off on giving those really large donations until they're a little bit older. And so this is why the retirement age, you know, those women and men, but those women who are serving after retirement, not only do they have time because now they're retired, they have money because they've been saving up, and they have resources because they have so many contacts and they've built out their Rolodex. They've built out their platform in which people trust them. You know, when I talked about know, like, and trust, there's a good chance that these women and men have built a trust and a friendship with so many wonderful people that by the time they get to this retirement age and they're asking people to serve, they have some weight. They have some pull to get people to say, well, if you're backing it, then I want to be a part of it because I believe in you. I trust you. And if you say this is a good organization, then I'm going to back it with the donations that I have access to. So I think about some of the women who have served in chairmanship roles in organizations that I've been a part of. And I cannot even tell you the things that they have done to make a difference. I mean, one of the first people that comes to mind is my friend Colette Young. You know, she is serving as the co-chairman for the Alumni and Friends organization, you know, that program, that campaign for the Boys and Girls Clubs of America. And I posted an interview that was done into the Fundraising Freedom Tribe page, which is on Facebook. And I was just sitting there watching this interview. And if you haven't seen it, if you're in our tribe, be sure to check out this interview. But I thought to myself, in this entire interview, she didn't speak at all because her husband is the CEO of Dr. Pepper Snapple Group. So the guy who was interviewing Larry, I mean, he wanted to hear from Larry, and he even called them Mr. and Mrs. Larry Young. And even though that is totally fine to do that, I mean, my eyes lit up in those first 30 seconds because I thought to myself, that guy has no idea what Colette Young does and how she is actually, even though she's not necessarily the face as much as maybe her husband is in the community, but man, you have no idea. And I'm sure if you're listening and you know Colette, you know that that woman is a force to be reckoned with. She has the ability to bring in donations that I never really had seen before I got a chance to work with her. And it's just incredible to think how we judge in such a moment where we're looking at power and influence and prominence. And yes, that's all important and that's all a part of it. But when you really, when it comes to boots on the ground and the people who are actually doing the work, I just don't want you to be blind to the fact that those wives and those women who are out there are the ones who are truly driving the force that is behind their organizations. They're the ones that are actually, I mean, they're moving the pieces. They're moving all of the, if you're looking at a chess table, I mean, they're the ones that are moving it, you know, moving the pieces. And they have the ability and the giftings, you know, and not that our men don't either, but I think that it's interesting that we do sometimes push those women to the side thinking, well, he's the one that has the title. He's the one that has the influence and the connections. But believe it or not, you know, those women are the ones that actually have just as much, if not more, say in what's happening in that household income and just how their names are being put out there. You know, so just something to be thinking about. As I recruit volunteers and I'm looking for what they have to bring to the table, if, you know, what's the win for me in our organization, but what's the win for them? You know, what is it that they're going to gain out of this? And that's why I think about the situation that some of those women are in as far as, are they, you know, maybe working from home? Are they, you know, do they not have the big title and the big, you know, platform, but they do have the contacts and the connections, and they have the passion to see that your organization succeeds and has the passion to make sure that you bring in the funds that you're looking for. When I talk to specifically individuals who are looking to raise personal support, you know, those missionaries and individuals, I'm often looking at who are the people who are going to go to bat for you? Who are the people who, you know, just the individuals in your life who are, you know, the most excited about what it is that you're doing? You know, this might be somebody who is kind of like a mother figure, you know, somebody who is, you know, very involved in their organizations that they're a part of, and they have a voice, they're leading meetings with their organizations, and they have the ability to present your group to their group. They have the ability to bring you in as a speaker, potentially even bring you into their home. This is something that I absolutely love about the women who have served in leadership with my organizations in the past, is that they often have such a gifting of hospitality that they are willing to open up their home, regardless of the size. But for the most part, if they are, you know, married to somebody who has power and influence in their you know, workplace, they tend to have, you know, nice homes, and they have the ability to do, you know, to provide that hospitality to potential individuals who could give to your cause. And so if you are a grassroots organization and you're just getting started, think about that woman in your life who may open up her home to you to be able to just introduce you to new people, to be able to share what it is that they're doing for you. And this is tends to be somebody who's already supporting your cause and has the ability to genuinely say, we support this individual, we support this organization because it matters, because it makes a difference in my life, because our family believes that we can make a difference and collectively we can work together. And by opening up our home, it's the least that we can do. And that's typically all it takes, is that they may not need to write a large check, but they do have the ability to put their voice, to put that hospitality, to put, you know, allow their home to be used as a safe place to share your message and to share the message of why they support your cause. So don't, you know, miss out on some of these things that people can do for you that may not cost a lot. It might just be coffee and desserts in their home, you know, on a Tuesday or Thursday evening or a Sunday night, whatever works out best for them. But just remember, most likely people are not going to do that for you without you asking. So, I mean, I was thinking about it myself, and I was thinking, I'm like, you know, we have the ability to open up our home, but I'm probably less likely just to go offer it to someone without them asking. And that's all it takes, is for you to say to somebody, hey, I was wondering if you could help me, you know, that could you help me, that customer service. And all you're asking is saying, hey, I would love to do a gathering, you know, of people that potentially could hear more about the message of our organization and about, you know, my personal journey. And I would love for you, you know, to consider opening up your home or helping to host this for us. It may not even be their home. It might be, you know, a local restaurant or something that you're a part of, or, you know, like something that's safe and neutral. And maybe if you're looking to bring in a group of people who's maybe not, doesn't necessarily know this person and may not feel comfortable in their home, but this person may be able to host this on your behalf so that it's not you saying, hey, come hear about what we're doing. It's more about this couple or this woman wants to host this on our behalf, and we'd love for you to be a part of it and hear about why she gives and why they give to our cause and what it is that we're doing to make a difference in our community or in our region. So that's just something to be thinking about. I just think that, you know, in general, that women have the ability to drive donations in a way that we may not quite understand today, but be thinking, brainstorm right now, who are some women in your life that you could invite to be a part of your cause? How could you engage them in a way where they feel really, really special, where they feel like they can use their gifting? You know, what is it that they're equipped to do? Is it that they care about women? Do they care about other, you know, children because they have children of their own? There's a reason why so many women serve in leadership, you know, in the education system, in religious organizations, you know, in you know, organizations where there's a health-related cause, because women tend to be caregivers. They tend to be nurturing and taking care of children especially. And so there's this already, you know, gifting that they're wired with. And, you know, I don't see myself necessarily as having the gifting of hospitality, but I do feel like, you know, I have the capability of doing something like that. Even if I pulled together with one or two other women and we collectively did this together, you start to realize that this could be a lot of fun, and you could see where there would be great joy in asking another woman to do something that maybe they don't do regularly, and this could be something really special that they do for you. So right now, think about that and how you can engage women. And on another token, on another note, is that go thank a woman today. Go sit down and write a thank you card or a thank you letter. You know, I mentioned, you know, Anna Jarvis and how her intent for Mother's Day was that we would just sit down and show love and gratitude to our mothers and to other mothers for that matter. And so think about the person who has maybe influenced your life. Maybe it's your mom, maybe it's a grandmother, maybe it's a mother figure in your life, but take some time and celebrate the difference that they made in your life. As I talk in my book, Fundraising Freedom, chapter 7 is all about making your difference. And think about the difference that those moms in your life, those women in your life have made to you and made in your life, and how you are kind of that same charitable organization, that same charitable cause that so many people invested in, and they never had to do that. You know, nobody had to invest in your life, but they chose to because they saw something in you that mattered. They saw the ability that you had to make a difference, and look at what you're doing today because of them. You know, to give credit and to just open up your arms, wrap your arms around them, and just thank them. So, thank you guys for letting me be a part of your journey. And I appreciate you guys. And I shared with my tribe this morning just a Mother's Day message. And I thought to myself, what sacrifice our mothers make. The women in our world who are caring for children, and then they wrap their arms around children who aren't even their own. You know, young people, whether you're working with young kids, high school kids, college age kids, young adults, those individuals who are in their, you know, 20s to 40s, and then beyond, the ones that are retired and moving into that senior citizen age, and, you know, maybe in a state where now they're looking to be taken care of again, you know. But all of that matters. You know, what you do matters. And think about whether you are a woman yourself or you are a man and you have a woman in your life who has supported you in a way and taken care of your children in a way that you just can't even put words to, because their sacrifice and their commitment to seeing to it that your kids and the kids in your community are cared for and loved on, and that they understand just how much they matter. And isn't that what we all want? We just all want to be seen and heard. And I'm just so grateful today to all of our mothers and to those of you who are just sacrificing every single day so that you can impact the lives of others. And you are rare. You are a rare group of people, because right now only 20 to 30% of people volunteer. And that's typically about 20% men, and 30% of women are volunteering. And that number could be so much greater if we just showed such great appreciation for them and showed them how much we care about the work that they're doing, and that this is something that matters. This is something that's so worth their time and their energy. But we do have to make sure we share what's in it for them. So on this Mother's Day, I just wish all of you guys a happy Mother's Day. I encourage you, if today is the day that you feel like you need that push in the right direction so that you can serve more people and you can get more donations in the bank, I do invite you to be a part of that coaching program, the Fundraising Freedom Coaching Course. And once again, you can find that at maryvaloney.com/coaching. And I look forward to getting your application and inviting you on June 1st to be a part of this next session of our course. So happy Mother's Day, and go change the world one volunteer and $1 at a time.
What could your favorite charity do if money were not an object? Most nonprofit leaders say they know what to do, they just don't know how to do it. What if you had a resource that showed you step by step how to raise the funds you need to fulfill your mission? Hi, I'm Mary Valoney, author of Fundraising Freedom, and I've raised millions of dollars for charity, and I'd love to show you exactly how to do it and how to recruit the right team to back you. Fundraising Freedom, 7 Steps to Build and Sustain Your Next Campaign, available now at maryvaloney.com. Amazon.com, and online at all major bookstores. Get your copy and give the gift of Fundraising Freedom to your favorite charity today.